with Ali C.
Welcome to America Tonight. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation and beyond our borders, too. Remember, you can always be part of the conversation, and boy, do we have plenty of it coming up. We're going to tell you about a fight to keep God on a memorial in San Diego, a very famous one that's been around for over five decades. It's ridiculous. I'll let you hear it. Plus, a man whose family fought to help us in Iraq, and then ultimately that family was rescued but dumped in Utah, just dumped off and said, see ya. So what was life like for a refugee family from Iraq, and what is it like today? Fascinating interview. The president is getting ready to talk about his budget for 2013 on Monday. The proposal supposedly is going to forecast $901 billion in a deficit in 2013. Oh, that word deficit, it is just like nails on a chalkboard to me, but we're so used to it now, aren't we? And we'll see ultimately how much infrastructure is talked about this time around. So while the Prez is focused on jobs and budgets, the Republicans are focused on who is going to run against him in November, and who ultimately is going to grab the nomination this time around. We're also going to hit that up here in just a second, talk about Sarah Palin. But big news over the weekend, sadly, the music world, Whitney Houston dead at the age of 48, a renowned pop singer. Details of her death in California kind of sketchy. She was supposed to go to a pre-Grammy party. She was apparently getting ready. They found her in a bathtub at a Beverly Hills, California hotel. There were prescription drugs she was taking, but lots of rumors and details that are murky. Was it prescription drugs that sent her sleeping into a tub? What was it? The cops are being very tight-lipped about this, as is the L.A. coroner. That makes sense because the coroner says it's going to take 6 to 8 weeks to give an official cause of death, but Houston was in the midst of a comeback. She had a few shows scheduled, and she had a movie, actually, that was in the works. So Whitney Houston, dead at the age of 48. She had struggled for a long time with all kinds of drug addictions. Here's a little snippet of what she said to Diane Sawyer in talking about drugs and what she dealt with.
I am not self-destructive. I'm not a person who wants to die. I'm a person who has life and wants to live.
If you had to name the devil for you, the biggest devil among them?
That would be me. Nobody makes me do anything I don't want to do. It's my decision. So the biggest devil is me. I'm either my best friend or my worst enemy.
All right, the legendary singer dead again at the age of 48. A lot of people tweeting all over the country, all over the world. Her songs, her album shot up on iTunes. It's in the top five. I think everybody has some song of hers that they know, I Will Always Love You, or the national anthem, if nothing else. If you weren't a big pop fan, you definitely know that she nailed it when she did the national anthem without a question, but still no answers, just lots of rumors that are swirling about the iconic singer's death. Sarah Palin is absolutely alive and kicking. She was the darling of the CPAC convention in Washington, D.C. It was a who's who of conservatives, including the people running for the Republican ticket. Sarah Palin mostly focused on why Obama has got to go as president.
Mr. President, we don't want an economy built to last. We want an economy built to grow, and we certainly don't want your economy built to last. We want your administration to end. He says that he has a jobs plan now, a jobs plan to win the future. WTF, I know. One country united under God. We aren't red America. are red, white, and blue. And President Obama, we are through with you.
All right. So President Obama, besides working on the budget and listening to or getting reports on what the conservatives were saying, if he was focused on that at all, a lot of people were questioning the president's revised plan on contraception insurance coverage because a firestorm was ignited last week. Catholic universities and charities saying, oh, no way, this is ridiculous. We were not going to pay for this, but that ultimately was part of what was supposed to be covered in insurance. So you can imagine there's polls galore, there's opinions galore on this as well. I happened to see something that was pretty interesting, a PPP poll, and it's what they did was it's basically the same as the Public Religion Research Institute. They released something, and what they showed was 6 in 10 Catholics, so 58%, believe that employers should be required to provide their employees with health care plans that cover contraception. A majority, 55% of Americans, agree that employers should be required to provide their employees with health care plans that cover contraception and birth control at no cost. Here's the interesting, statistics. Younger Americans support the requirement. Two-thirds, 65% of millennials agree that employer health care coverage should include contraception at no cost. A majority of Catholics, I'm not going to bombard you with more statistics, just one last one. A majority of Catholics, 52%, say that the religiously affiliated colleges and hospitals should have to provide coverage that includes contraception. Boy, that's interesting because the Catholic Church is having a heart attack over this and saying that they'll fight to the end to not do this, even if they, in individual parishes, have to go to prison as a result of it because they refuse to comply with the mandate. So there's a lot of push-pull over what's going to happen here and revising it and possibility of a Republican attack on the other side to completely remove it. And now I've said this a couple times, I'm going to say it again. It just goes to show you why you need to be able to read laws. And the reason why is because this had always been as part of the plan. This was there in 2010, and nobody said anything then, or maybe they did, but they certainly didn't squeal loud enough. Now that it's closer to reality, people are realizing, oh, wow, really? That's in there? Oof, I didn't realize that. We have to pay for coverage, you're saying, but why should we have to pay for that? That's not part of our tenets. We don't believe in that. We believe for Catholics, we believe in the rhythm method. So we can't embrace contraception. Why should we pay for that for anybody who's working for us? I mean, for goodness sake, that's part of the deal. So the Catholic leaders across the U.S. are saying they're going to fight for sure this birth control insurance coverage policy, even despite the compromise, because there was a compromise, remember, heading into the weekend, that religious employers wouldn't have to offer free contraceptives for workers, shifting the responsibility instead to the insurance companies. So it was a policy shift aimed at cutting off a firestorm, and the president announced that on Friday, this compromise. But the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops say its concerns were not addressed, and they say that there are serious moral concerns here. Stay with us. We're going to talk about another fight of a religious sort next on ATN.
Thousands of items, 47 categories, 101 name brands. Attention all outdoor geeks now listening to this broadcast. Your outfitters of outdoor gear and electronic gadgets is WildernessGeek.com. Discover a retail superstore of emergency survival, firearms, tactical accessories, camping, boating, hunting, and search and rescue gear like the life-saving laser flares used by Coast Guard and other rescue agencies. WildernessGeek.com is your electronic supplier of two-way and shortwave radios, GPSs, marine electronics, and portable solar chargers. Plus, WildernessGeek.com has experienced emergency search and rescue service personnel to help you find what you need and learn how to use it. And the best part? Free shipping on orders of $100 or more in the continental U.S. Plus, 5% discount to all radio listeners and rescuers. Go to WildernessGeek.com. That's WildernessGeek.com, the electronic outdoor emergency survival gear superstore.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com. Because here's the deal, and I've talked about this a bunch on America Tonight, so this is just a perfect thing for us to start the show off with. You know, the Mount Soledad Memorial Association and veterans of many wars unite pretty much together to defend this 58-year-old war memorial from being torn down. And we're talking about a landmark. I can't tell you how many times when I lived in California, I drove by this where I spent time near it. And, you know, for more than a half a century, it's a 29-foot Latin cross that's been on top of Mount Soledad, overlooking San Diego, and it honors, really, our nation's veterans, period, end of story. It's a symbol. It's something that honors the selfless, unbelievable, selfless sacrifice and service of veterans. I mean, it's a centerpiece. I can't believe that people are complaining about this. But yes, atheists, the ACLU, and a bunch of supporters are in this long legal battle to tear down the memorial cross. So it is with great pleasure, because this is something I've been screaming about for a long time on America Tonight, that I introduce you to Kelly Shackelford, the CEO of Liberty Institute, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting religious freedoms, and now they're involved in this. Kelly, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, I'm happy to do it.
So tell me, I understand that there was and we played a little snippet, some of the music, but I understand that there was a rally today. What happened at the rally?
Well, we really were having a rally somewhat to celebrate the fact that, you know, as of today, we're now in the Supreme Court. We filed the appeal into the Supreme Court on behalf of the Veterans Association, the Mount Soledad Memorial Association. And we're finally going to get to hopefully a final solution on this and hopefully certainly get a reversal of this really outrageous decision by the Ninth Circuit Federal Court of Appeals.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's why I said that I had talked about it for a long time, because this is one thing that caught my attention the second it made the news. But even before that, because I was very familiar with the cross. And I got to tell you, people of all different kinds of religions that I knew in California didn't think twice, didn't blink about it. It was a symbol. And everybody just embraced it. I never understood this in the first place. So how did you find out about this? How did this come to light for you?
Well, we've kind of become the experts around the country, Liberty Institute has, at defending our veterans when veterans' memorials are under attack. The Mount Soledad cross is the one we're talking about today, and the veterans' memorial that's around that. But 2 years ago, you might remember, there was the Mojave Desert Veterans Memorial that was put up in 1934 by World War I vets in the middle of the Mojave Desert. And the ACLU had actually filed a lawsuit to have that memorial torn down after, 77 years. And we were able to represent over 4 million veterans, and that went all the way to the Supreme Court. We were able to get a reversal of that decision by the Supreme Court saying, look, we don't tear down our veterans' memorials because there's a cross or a Star of David in it. That's not what this country's about, and that's not what our Constitution says. And so it was a little surprising when, 2 years later, same Federal Court of Appeals, the Ninth Circuit, issues this decision saying, well, the Mount Soledad one is now unconstitutional. So here we are back again. And we're hoping that with this, we can get the Supreme Court not only to reverse this, but to really put an end to these attacks on veterans' memorials. The very purpose of veterans' memorials is to show honor, to remember, to respect. And this is causing disrespect and dishonor. It's a disgrace that veterans have to worry about whether their memorials are going to be torn down. That's something that shouldn't happen in this country.
I agree with you 100%. I can imagine that a lot of veterans have sounded off to you. What have you heard from the veterans?
Well, pretty much, almost unanimous around the country, outrage. We had the ceremony today outside, and you've seen it. I mean, this veterans memorial is just absolutely breathtaking. It's been there for, over five decades, and it's a beautiful view, looking over, the ocean and, right near one of the naval bases. And it's just an excellent place, and the memorial's done so well. It's not only the cross, but also, 3,000 plaques surrounding it. Of soldiers who have given the sacrifice for their country and the stories that are with those. It's really a moving, powerful, and beautiful setting. And one of the guys who spoke today was a member of the Jewish War Veterans who got up and said, look, I am a member of the Mount Soledad Memorial Association. I've never had a problem with this memorial. And most of the Jewish, leaders, that I know around, this area who are in the Jewish war veterans totally agree with me. So, this is ridiculous, the idea that this has to be under attack. We know that it's a cross because it represents sacrifice for all faiths and for people of no faith at all. So the intolerant attack to try to really rip down this cross after 56 years is really ridiculous. And so that is a common, certainly, reaction of the veterans to this attack.
Yeah. And I mentioned at the top, Kelly, what you do at Liberty Institute. And it seems to me that there's been, and this is just my point of view, being a talk show host and traveling around the country and seeing some of these things that are happening, the Mojave Desert incident, which you were involved in. Why all of a sudden has this become a big issue? Why are these? Because I think it's an attack on veterans and these memorials. It's crazy, especially some of them that have stood for so long. What do you chalk that up to?
Well, I mean, what I think is really going on is some of these groups that are, they're somewhat extremist groups. I mean, we did a national poll on this for the Mojave Desert case, and 93% of the country said leave the veterans' memorials alone. So, I mean, we're talking about a pretty small percentage that's trying to do this and is actually filing these lawsuits and behind all these attacks. But, look, these are groups that have their own agenda with regard to sort of religion in public. They'd like to remove any sort of religious expression or religious symbols from being in public. They feel like they have some sort of right not to be offended by seeing some religious symbol. And unfortunately, they don't seem to care what the collateral damage is. And so the veterans' memorials are just part of their big sort of cultural agenda to, engage in somewhat of a religious cleansing across the country. And I think that's sad. The veterans kind of get, caught in the crossfire here and are having to undergo these ridiculous attacks. And again, decisions even by courts that we've had to get overturned and have been successful so far to literally tear down memorials in some cases that have been up for, over 70 years that were put up by the hands of World War I veterans or World War II veterans that had just come back from the war and had just seen their buddies die and put up these memorials to give honor and to remember them. I mean, it's incredible, but that's what's happening, and it's just an intolerance and a mission of this small group that wants to take down religious symbols from public places.
Yeah, I agree. Kelly Shackelford, CEO of Liberty Institute, keep fighting the good fight, and we'd love to have you back on. We'll keep our eye on what happens here. Thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Oh, I'm happy to do it. I would encourage people that Don't Tear Me Down site, don'ttearmedown.com, has the information on the case, and they can get that song you were playing, and all the proceeds are going to fund the case and defend the veterans' memorials.
All right, excellent. So do that. They can go to iTunes, in fact, and download it there, too. Thank you so much, Kelly.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks. A lot of you have already said a few things through the miracle of the chat if you go to americatonight.net, including Quark, who says, I'm an atheist, and I sometimes find the belligerence of atheists embarrassing. It's almost as if they want to be hated. Then you have Ralph, who says, I don't understand it, Quark. I'm an agnostic, and why stop the dead from marking their faith? Then you have Dark Wolf, who says militant atheists are so hypocritical. They denounce religious people trying to press their views whilst proselytizing people that their way is the right way. You want to sound off? 800-259-5791. Meet you on the flip.
Powerful forces are trying to destroy your health. It's a fact that we're surrounded by a sea of environmental toxins, from mercury in vaccines and dental fillings, to aluminum in chemtrails, to pesticides and toxic chemicals sprayed all over our food. Even nuclear radiation, which is still spewing out of Fukushima, has contaminated the water and food supply in the U.S. But there is a solution. Liquid Zeolite is an extraordinary natural formula which safely and effectively removes all kinds of toxins from the body, including capturing heavy metals, pesticides, viruses, and radioactive particles. Use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com for fatigue, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, and joint pain. Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee and is available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. 100% safe, 100% amazing. Try Liquid Zeolite today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
When's the last time you had a chance to buy a ticket to paradise? Listen up for a truly once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Imagine the ultimate bug-out safe home, surrounded by incredible lush, fertile land, filled with fruit trees, coffee farm, fresh air, wildlife, and gorgeous views of the Pacific Coast. And you could win it for only $200. Yes, a Costa Rican family of four is raffling off their $400,000 home for only $200 per ticket. The winner scores a 2,000-square-foot, three-bedroom, two-bath house, two-car garage starts with Bodega, Guest House, nearly 3 acres of fertile coffee farmland, and a 1978 diesel Toyota Land Cruiser. All for only $200 per raffle ticket. Only 2,000 tickets will be sold. Hurry, raffle ends April 30th, 2012. For complete details, visit CostaRicaRaffle.com. That's CostaRicaRaffle.com. Get your ticket to paradise today at CostaRicaRaffle.com.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Can't wait to introduce you to our next guest here on America Tonight. Alan Karam is a guy who now attends the University of Utah and actually volunteers his time to teach English at a pretty highly regarded place, actually, a refugee and immigrant center at the Asian Association of Utah. But what's his story? Here's his story. He knows what it's like to be an immigrant, and he wants to try to make it better and make this a bipartisan solution and figure out what are we going to do here, and with good reason, because can you imagine this? I want you to think about this. In 1997, his family was brought to the U.S. from Iraq by former President Clinton. His father worked undercover for the CIA to help, we've talked about this before, to help bring down Saddam Hussein. When the secret was, of course, discovered, they had to run for their lives, flee for their lives. So Karam and six other members of the family were brought to Salt Lake City. Thus, we fast forward, and I just gave you a story as what he's doing now. Alan, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thanks, Kate. Good to be here.
Take us back to that moment, because I want people to understand what that felt like. Your father was helping the United States at his own peril and his family's peril, and he knew that, but he must have believed in the mission, I'm assuming, and talked to you about that. But what was that like? First of all, what was it like leading up to before you actually fled the country?
It was actually really bad. From 1988 till 1997, we had to flee town to town just because, you know, the Iraqi people were kind of suspicious on my father's whereabouts, because, you know, he wouldn't come home at night. He would disappear for months. So they knew, kind of, but, you know, they didn't have any substantial evidence that he was actually working, you know, for the CIA. But in 1997, one of my father's last operations somehow was discovered among the Iraqi people. And right away, we had to flee the city, and you know, President Clinton got us out of there, and it was good that we got out, because Saddam Hussein put a contract out on my father's head, and it, for my whole family to be buried alive the week after we left.
You mean the other family members that were left behind?
My family, like we Saddam Hussein put a contract out on my father's head, and for my immediate family to be buried alive.
Oh yeah,
We fled the country.
Wow. I thought you meant other cousins, because were there other people in your family, you know, the other cousins or relatives that stayed behind? Because they must have, right? It was just your family that was taken to the United States. What happened with them?
Just my family.
Oh, okay. All right. So when your family comes to the United States, you're dropped off in a one-bedroom house, no money, no support, no help from the government to get established. Do you remember what that was like? That had to be strange. Did you, what was that like? What was that like for your family?
It was actually pretty bad. We were dropped off, in fact, that night, February 25th in 97. It was snowing really bad. One of the guys that helped us, he worked for this organization called International Rescue Committee. He picked us up from the airport, and he dropped us off, and he said, "Here's the key, and I'll get with you guys. I have other family." So we walked in. The electricity was on, but there was no heat in the house. The heater wasn't working, and the house was just a mess. It was pretty bad, and we just never heard from these guys again. We wrote several letters. They sent us a check, and actually the landlord told us that the house was the rent was half paid. So he came over and said, "You guys need to pay the other half." And that's when we found out that because initially they told us they were going to pay 3 months of the rent, 3 months of, while we're in the U.S., they'll pay the first 3 months, but they only paid half month rent. So we had to, quickly we had to get out and get ourselves jobs. In fact, I was supposed to start, high school. I went down to the Salt Lake Community College. There's a library there, and so I got myself a job in the evening.
Oh, so you jumped into it right away. And, you go through that, and you see what happened with your family. And I wonder, what about your father? What was it like for him? Because then he must have been looking for work, too, as well.
Absolutely. He found a job doing carpentry work early in the morning, like 3 o'clock in the morning till about noon. Until this day, he's very disappointed. Excuse me. Just because the immigration kept denying us papers. And he was having me to write, letters to the state senators and the congressmen. I wrote a few letters. Nobody responded. I tried to make an appointment with one of the Salt Lake governor.
Right.
And a few times I tried to go in, and he's like, they kept telling me, he's out of town and he can't see you. So this is what I told my father. I said, I'll put everything in the book, and maybe that way they can. Somehow we can get their attention.
Yeah, there you go. So you know what that's like. So you see this battle over illegal immigration, and I got to think that you have opinions about this. For sure you do. Do you think illegal immigrants should be given the same rights as the legal ones that come in?
It's going to hurt us. It's going to hurt us a lot if that's going to happen. You know why? Because we are legal in this country. My father, devoted his life, pretty much 16 years working for the CIA. And we came to this country. We had tried to apply for, citizenship and green card, permanent residency, change status. Never happened. And now they're talking about giving rights to, the illegals. To me, I think we should... The immigration should look back and say, hey, we have this many people that are legal in the U.S. and they don't have any papers. Let's have them documented before we move on to the illegal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that, because that could be confusing and be a nightmare for all the other people already who have done, as you said, like your father working for 16 years for the CIA. That would really mix things up. There's this big push, and you're following this, for the DREAM Act, and you think the DREAM Act... could turn into an immigration nightmare. Is that the reason why part of what you just told me?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's why I agree with you 100%. No question. All right. How about this? I mentioned this at the top. You're teaching English to Asian immigrants. That has to be rewarding for you. Did you want to do that because you want to give back? What was your reason for doing that?
The reason I started doing that, I wanted to know, they got immigrants from all over the world. And so I talked to them, I help them out with whatever they need. Obviously, I go in twice a week, about 3 hours. And I talked to most of them and how they were treated. And they were just, not to lessen the importance of their arrival, but they're just refugees, and the things they have gained from the government, it's unbelievable. Like one family I talked to, they told me twice a week they go pick them up, they take them to the store to do all their shopping, and they bring them back. And this is kind of intriguing for me, because nothing like that, not even close to that, happened to to my family. Whether if the government ever came and said, hey, you guys need any money, or if you guys need any help, we can help you. But these guys are telling me that, they go out and they help them go out shopping, they take them to events and to movie and things like that. It just kind of gives me a lot of information.
So we mentioned this, your family gets there in 97. We've gone through all of this. And you look to what happened on 9/11/2001, obviously 2001 September. So that had to have changed some things for you. Did life get tougher for you because people knowing your background, or no?
It did. It did. We Utah, many people ask me the same thing, and they tell me, "Hey, how's Utah as far as diversity?" And it's not diverse as any other cities. Like for instance, New York or, Dallas, LA. But in 2001, we moved to Detroit, Michigan. We had a couple of families, close friends, and they said Detroit was more diverse. So we went over there. The jobs were very bad. So we came back.
Ooh, and Detroit, so you're saying really Detroit was the epicenter of problems, because that illegal thing, and then naturally the part of the world that you were from, that had to be tough.
Right.
Yeah. So now you talked about this too as well, mentioning the fact that you're working on the memoirs. That has to be pretty therapeutic in one way for you. Do you feel like you're just pouring out the whole family history, huh?
I am. Oh, absolutely. The thing that I haven't even mentioned with you here is that like we talked about 9/11. After that, I could not get on airplane for some. I couldn't, at airports I could be easily spotted. My luggage was lost a couple of times. I was taken off the plane once because I was sitting in the exit row. Just things like that I want to really right.
Emphasize, yeah. Well, see, and here's the thing. You could easily have said flippantly, listen, my father practically gave all of our lives for the United States working with the CIA in Iraq, right?
You know, it's kind of a funny thing, because we did that with the immigration. One day we got into a huge argument with them, and they said, you need to bring in your birth certificates. And we said, we're from Iraq, obviously. So my dad got really pissed off, got really upset with that. He came over there, and he's like, he showed him he has an identification still, and he said, look, I have served for this country. And they laughed at him. We thought not to mention anything.
Yeah, I understand. Hopefully that's all behind you. Alan Karam, thanks so much. We look forward to your book, and come back on with us, will you?
Extendivite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our leap year sale with prices from 5 years ago. From February 1st to February 29th, you can purchase a 4-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling. To help you, help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVice.
If you're having any problems with the IRS or a local revenue agency, I understand and I can help. I'm tax attorney Tony Dennison. When I was a kid, the IRS came after my mother's house because of mistaken information. Ever since then, I've dedicated my life to defending people in trouble with the IRS. I'm a real tax attorney, which means I have 2 law degrees, a standard law degree known as a JD, and a tax law degree known as a Master's of the Laws in Taxation. I've been practicing for 10 years and I've helped many of your fellow citizens in tax trouble. If you're in tax trouble, you don't need to be alone and you don't need to call one of those fake lawyer clearinghouses. Call me, Tony Dennison, at Dennison Tax Law, 952-886-7141, or on the web at DennisonTaxLaw.com. It may be the best call you make all year. Dennison Tax Law, 952-886-7141. And again, on the web at DennisonTaxLaw.com.
In the past, I've taken a lot of different vitamins, some through health food stores, some that friends recommend.
Colleen talking about her experience with Super Sea Veg.
And with the Super Sea Veg, I was seeing a lot better results.
Super Sea Veg with Vita D and C-Cal is the most powerful dietary food supplement in the world today, and nothing else comes close.
Super Sea Veg is a whole food that makes me feel good.
Think of Super Sea Veg as the un-vitamin.
I have taken other things, and they just didn't work. This seems to work for me.
And Super Sea Veg comes with a 90-day money-back guarantee.
Store-bought vitamins do not have the supplement and the full, whole feeling I have from Super Sea Veg.
Get 15% off your first purchase on our website, superseaveg.com. That's super, S-E-A-V-E-G.com. At checkout, enter coupon code UNVITAMIN. Or place your order at 866-SEA-VEG. That's 866-732-8344. Eating Super Sea Veg daily is eating right.
Give you a good final segment as we do that and ride off here. How many of you play the lottery? Yep. You do the Powerball thing, the Mega Millions, that kind of deal. Somebody walked away with a whole bunch of money. The cash value was, I think, $193 million and change, something like that. And you know what? I got 3 numbers. But they were on different lines. But at least I played. Just a couple of bucks. Don't have a gambling problem. It all goes into education, after all. Matt Johnson, the man at the controls, the maestro. I know that you partake in Powerball. So apparently you didn't win because somebody in Rhode Island has got a whole bunch of money now.
Yeah, because if I won, someone else would be sitting here.
That's nice. That's we appreciate that.
Definitely. I'm very committed to a point.
To a point. Here's what I love. When people say about the lottery, well, if I won the lottery, you know, the if questions, the famous if game, what would you do if you won the lottery? And it was, you know, over $50 million, clear, whatever. You've already paid your taxes. I love it when people say, well, I would still work. I'd still go to work on Monday. And they work in a factory, or they, and it doesn't matter what you do, or they work as a lawyer, or they work as a janitor, they work at whatever. You got to be kidding me. There's just no way. Life is very finite. We all know that. Death and taxes, after all. We can't look into a crystal ball and know how healthy we're going to be or how healthy our family and friends are going to be. So if you were afforded the opportunity to be, quote, super rich, and I'm talking about a whole bunch of money, I don't see you could open a charity, travel the world, help other people. You could do something philanthropic so you feel good, and yet you could also spend money on your friends and family as well and just see everybody. Because we live in a world where people don't even live near each other. I mean, Matt is just barely 30, and half of his friends don't even live near him. You have a good friend that lives in Hawaii. I think you have another friend that lives in California. I have friends all over the globe and all over the country. So what would I do? I'd want to go see my pals.
Yeah, I love you and everything, but I wouldn't spend one extra second sitting in this seat if I won the lottery.
Oh, you're terrible. We didn't win it. We didn't win the lottery. Oh man. By the way, Jack Alexander from Down Under, our man Down Under, says, Matt, you slacker. If I'd won, I'd be there. In one way, it'd be fun, I guess, because you wouldn't have to worry about it. It's like, hey, I don't have to worry about paychecks. Who cares? I'm just totally doing it for the
fun. I don't know. I don't know if you'd want me running this show if I had $1 million+, because my attention level would just, I don't know if I could hang in there.
I know. See, that's the problem.
The production quality would definitely go down even more so.
Even more so. Oh, that's awful. So I know a lot of people were paying attention to the lottery. So we moved from the lottery to, as I said at the beginning of the show, Whitney Houston, sad, dead at the age of 48. She definitely had a special voice. She had a special talent. She had a gift. She did. She had a gift, but unfortunately she had a devil, and the devil was drugs, whether it was prescription drugs or was cocaine or other things that she struggled with in her entire life. And eventually, maybe this is what got the better of her. The autopsy will become official in the next 6 to 8 weeks out of Los Angeles, but you can bet in the next couple of days, certainly, the world will react. They'll have a memorial. Celebrities galore will come out to say goodbye to a woman who had a beautiful voice in her day, without a doubt, and she was on the road to a comeback. She's making a movie, cutting a new album. Things were looking a little bit better for Whitney Houston, but it was not to be. Dead at the age of 48 over the weekend. A lot of you sounded off on that. Our mailbag was full once again, so I'm opening the door virtually and walking down to the mail room right now. So without further ado, let's check the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Ah, thank you very much. This is from Glenn, who says, Kate, did you know that Whitney Houston died? He sent this to me over the weekend. A very sad deal. I wasn't a great big fan, I have to say, but she had a pretty voice. And after all, she sang that amazing rendition of the national anthem. Yeah, it's true. See, I think you could be a hardcore rocker. You could be into heavy metal. You could be into alternative. I don't know. Whatever kind of music you like. It seems like we always pick a lane musically, unless you're very eclectic like me. I'm kind of all over the board, but you have to know who she is. I just don't think she has a name that you would never have heard. I find that very, very hard to believe. All right, here's another Whitney Houston one. This comes to us from Sal, listening WVMT in Vermont. Kate, I'm one of those Vermonters that you mention on the show, listening for a long time. Felt compelled to say something about Whitney Houston. Still get goosebumps when I hear the national anthem that she sang, if you remember, during the Gulf War. Absolutely incredible. I don't think anyone will ever do it justice like she did that day. So for nothing else, I tip my cap to the lady, and very sad what she struggled with. Well, yeah, and I mentioned that it's drugs of some sort, but that doesn't mean that that's what happened there. It's just that there were a lot of prescription drugs in her room, and they'll figure it out. They'll sort it out as they run all of the tests on her. We move from Whitney Houston to something else that was on a lot of your minds. This one comes to us from, let's see, Tank. Ooh, Tank back again. Hello, Ms. Delaney. This is the second. See, I noticed it because it's an unusual nickname or name or whatever. This is the second email that I have sent you. I was paying attention a little bit over the weekend to the whole CPAC thing. I got to tell you, I am a lifelong Republican, but I don't know that I would vote for any of these Republicans. Ultimately, Mitt Romney is being served up on a platter. Not that I dislike the guy. Hey, he might be a cool guy. I don't know. But I don't think he can beat Obama. Everybody is kidding themselves on the Republican side of the aisle if they really think a Republican is going to win in November. What's your take? My take is it's going to be really tough to beat Obama, that he is exactly, he's the incumbent. They've got a $1 billion war chest. There's going to be massive commercials. They're going to be able to really work on what he's good at, which is campaigning, and the people around him are good at campaigning. What's going to happen to the Republicans? Are they going to splinter off? who is going to ultimately be the nominee. Is it Mitt Romney? And how many people are going to rally around Mitt Romney? And the Electoral College, of course, spells the whole thing out, what's going to happen there. It's tough. It's tough to beat an incumbent anyway. We've just had two presidents. Bush, for all the people that said, oh, we hate Bush and he's not going to get the second term, he got the second term. You can talk about the first term and argue about the hanging chads and all of that. But he's a two-term president. Before him, Bill Clinton was a two-term president. And, you know, if the economy tanked even more, because I think there's a real sleight of hand with jobs. I say it all the time. The unemployment rate is higher than 8 point blah, blah, blah. It is. People are working too many jobs. They're underemployed, and there isn't as many opportunities. Yes, in certain fields, and go to North Dakota if you can drive a truck and you can help with the oil there. You know, there are certain little pockets in the country, but we keep hearing about all the jobs, 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 jobs. But I still don't find that when I talk to people. I'm being very honest and talking to people all around the country, not just on this show. I'm not completely getting that sense whatsoever. And I think people are disgusted with some of the things that have happened. But will they go against Obama? You still have the independents. Will the independent vote really swing the way of Mitt Romney over Barack Obama? I mean, there ultimately is your question. It's about numbers. Has it happened before when somebody was an incumbent president? They thought they were going to win it, and then they didn't win it. Think Ronald Reagan. But I don't believe we have a Ronald Reagan candidate. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. As we know, fates and fortunes change, and it's still very early in the game. First, who's the nominee? Let's move on to another one. This one from Zeke. What do you think about Syria, Kate? Why aren't we jumping into the fray here? Do you think we should intervene? Oh, boy. Syrians all over the U.S. have been protesting, especially around the U.N. There were a lot of people in New York. There were a lot of people I heard in Los Angeles protesting, too. I mean, it's a loaded question because, remember, oil is what makes the world turn round. What does Syria not have? Oil. So with the violence escalating and now with what's happening with Russia and China because they vetoed the U.N. Security Council resolution to try to curtail the violence or condemn the violence, what's left for the international folks to do? What's going to happen ultimately? It's pretty awful, the pictures that are coming out of Syria, without a doubt. I mean, this is a prolonged conflict. Political violence has spread all over Syria. It's not in one little tiny area. And this has been going on for a while. It's sad, actually, to see the pictures that are coming out of there. I don't think so. I don't think the U.S. isn't going to have boots on the ground, I can tell you that much.